Welcome this week to the Space Explored Podcast. I'm, of course, Seth Krakowski, and with me is Derek Wise.
Hello, hello.
How's your week been?
It's been good. It's been a good week.
Did anything happen to you on Twitter?
Well, technically, the week before, I lost my account briefly.
Someone broke the rules.
In my defense, I broke the rules 9 years ago. So I feel like I'm okay.
So, first of all, both of us are verified on Twitter. Applications took a while, but like, it was funny because Derek was like, got all his followers taken away because he put his birthday in, and it ended up being before he created his account when he was below the age limit. That was a hell of a week. That was hilarious. But
it took so long to get them back, and so it was actually the morning of a shortfall of Gravitas arriving here, and I still didn't have my followers back, and so I was posting photos.
Yeah, you were like in the group chat, like, guys, can you retweet my tweets because no one could see them?
Yeah.
Because you could tweet, but you had no followers. It was hilarious. Yep.
It took them a good few days to get that.
Yeah. Who was your first follower back?
At Verified.
Yeah, Verified, yeah.
It was right after Verified followed me. It was a couple hours later, maybe, when I got my followers all back.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Like, that was the only part that was, like, it was the best part. Like, you got verified with no followers.
I was verified with one follower.
One follower. So this week we're talking about, of course, the SpaceX news, and we'll get into the rest of the discussion today. I think we have a pretty important question at the end that we're going to ask and discuss. So the past 2 weeks, we've seen some drone ship activity. I think it took like, what, a month for Of Course I Still Love You when it left Florida, yep, to finally make its way over to California. So yeah, it got unloaded from the ship carrying ship, Mighty Servant One, but like a ship carrying ship. Shipping a rocket catching ship, so it's over there in Port Long Beach. I think we still don't have a timeline for when there's going to be a launch. I'm sure they have to do some testing to make sure it wasn't damaged on the way there.
Yeah, they're looking to do a Starlink launch out there, which will be cool to see, but who knows when that'll actually come.
We were supposed to have a Starlink launch like 2 weeks ago. It was on the schedule. Like, it was like everyone said, like, the source was like, who is the satellite company that filed an injunction against Starlink to stop them from launching? I can't remember what it was. I don't think it ever went through or did anything. It was kind of like a low blow move. But they stated there was a launch coming up on like beginning of July, but it didn't say where, didn't say when. That was the only source we had, and it never happened. So I don't think we have the next launch, I think, for like Florida is not till like September, August, like late August, September.
No. End of the month, we have launching G2, and then next month we should have CRS-23, I believe.
Oh yeah, CRS-23 is the one. That's what it is. I'm thinking of the Falcon Heavy one, but that one's way off. I forgot. Yeah, CRS-23 is like in August 23rd, I think. No, CRS-23 August. I don't remember what it was.
You're mixing up your numbers.
23 stuck in my head. But yeah, so we also have, alongside, Of Course I Still Love You getting to California, we have short for Gravitas, which we've been covering extensively in Louisiana, and now the rest of the world has had a chance to see it over the past like week and a half.
Yeah.
We had pretty much, so Elon Musk, we had plans to get aerial photos and video of it, like while still in Louisiana. And as we're trying to make these plans, we just get a tweet from Elon Musk with drone footage.
Yeah.
We were a little, you win some, you lose some. But like,
we were like, oh, cool.
You know what?
But it also, we wanted to be the ones to share that.
Yeah, it was better than anything we were going to get. So we're not going to get it like of it moving around. So you know what? It was pretty dope. We got to see it from above the first time during the sea trials. We were expected to come back to Port Fortune, and then it just all of a sudden starts going east. So, it arrived Thursday, right? And, great photos of it from everybody.
I was out there bright and early for that one.
I'm proud of it. I'm proud of you for that one. That was good. I'm happy.
I knew I didn't need to be there at 5 a.m., but I was there just in case. What time? It was a great sunrise.
You don't go to Jetty Park, but what time does Jetty Park open? Isn't it like at 6 or 7?
I think it opens at 7.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It arrived. Well, yeah, it didn't arrive till like noon, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love those port chasing. Like, we're like, yeah, I get this super early. And then you just see like the notifications coming through. For people who are like speculating, like, oh my god, it's pushing back to like noon, or
you're really moving at 2 knots.
Come on,
you're coming into port at 2 knots, not like the, what was it, like 10 it was doing before. It's,
yeah,
like,
come on now,
you're staying that slow.
Though I bet slowing down that barge would be tough. Going 10 knots and all of a sudden, like, all right, we gotta slow it down. We're not slowing that thing down for a while. But yeah, so. Of course, Surf Our Gravitas replacing Of Course I Still Love You is joining Just Read the Instructions, which I thought, yeah, so Nick and Jerry went up on a helicopter. We got some great photos. We got side-by-side images of Just Read the Instructions and Surf Our Gravitas. Like, night and day. Like, just A-Saga is a freaking tank.
Yeah, and also the height. It's a very tall drone ship.
Is it really?
As of now. Yeah. It seems... Well, floating much higher in the water, and I don't know.
It's probably not floating high. It's probably floating high in the water because they don't have ballast in it probably yet.
Yes, but that makes me wonder: will they add a ton of ballast if it's going to be fully autonomous going out to those landing zones?
I bet it gets lower with fuel. I bet they don't have a lot of fuel in it. So that's what I assume. That probably, I bet it wouldn't have that much ballast. That actually makes sense. But I bet they probably. Change. I bet some of that ballast tank is probably being used with fuel, because it definitely needs more fuel than Just Read the Instruction or Of Course I Still Love You, because
it's moving, not just holding position.
Yeah, it's moving out there. So yeah, we don't know exactly how it's going to work. Elon Musk tweeted that's fully autonomous, but like, how much would it be? Because like, you can't, safety-wise,
it'll need help getting out of the port.
Yeah, safety-wise, you can't have that thing moving by itself out of the port. There's way too much, you know, they might not have other big ships coming through, but you have way too many little ships flying, you know, coming in and out of there. So,
and then you've got to think about also tracking. If it's actually going to be moving on its own, will it end up having the marine tracking?
If it doesn't, that would suck for us tracking it. I feel like it has to, right? Although
I'm
it
not
is a barge,
with the maritime laws.
It's a barge, right? Barges don't need it, apparently. I don't know, but who knows at this point what's going to happen? We'll see. Like, when it happens, when it does its first mission, I would. You know what? Do you want to take a bet on what its first mission will be?
No, I don't.
Okay, I will. I think it can actually do CRS-23.
It's possible.
I think it could. I think they're going to do another sea trial, and then they're going to do CS-23.
Yeah. Because they lifted the Octograbber onto the deck of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say they have a little bit more work they're probably going to do, because it was interesting seeing railings where the railings then just became a strip of caution tape going across them. And it was on both sides. They were just open. Other than the caution tape in the one section.
No, the caution tape would be fine. It's yellow, they'll see it. It's got the water wheelies, though, so it's fine. Yeah. And other SpaceX news. Nothing else. Nothing much else happened in SpaceX news. Oh yeah, Elon Musk is going to be going to space. Possibly.
Will he, though?
Yes. So,
and is that even space?
We'll talk more about Richard Branson's flight later on the show. But apparently, so Elon Musk went to Richard Branson's flight on spaceship to Unity 22, and apparently he bought a ticket on Virgin Galactic. Some UK interviewed Richard Branson before the flight, and that's what he said. And then like, it took like 2-3 days for them to come over to the States. But like, I wasn't really expecting him to buy. I was just waiting for him to just like, all right, well, like, I guess I'll go on a Falcon 9 in the orbit like one of these days, just casually. So, or just wait to go to Mars.
And it makes you wonder, will he, is that more of a friendly gesture to Branson, or is, like, is he actually going to take that flight? Because that's...
Well, so he only paid, according to the source, he only paid the deposit, which is like $10,000, which to him, that's nothing. So, like, that could just be like, whatever. But, like, apparently Branson and him are actually good friends, according to Branson and Musk. So, who knows? But, definitely friendlier to Branson than he is to Bezos.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little... Yeah, and sad that he was not the winner of the auction. Although he could be. I don't know. Is something happening with
Musk? In theory, he could be the winner of that auction.
He could still be the winner. Yeah. It hasn't been announced yet. Yeah.
So we've also got the Demo 2 spacesuits there on display.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to. Then I realized about Elon Musk going to space. But yeah, we had the DM2 suits and now are on display for about 2 months. I think end of August, maybe like, you know, like a week after that or something like that. We didn't really get like they went on display beginning of last week, so it could be somewhere around there. They said 60 days.
There'll be about a 60-day display at Kennedy Space Center.
So. Below Atlantis. I mean, that's a great building, so I love being in there below the last shuttle to fly and with the suits for the first Dragon to fly, so... I think that's pretty cool. Well, first Crew Dragon. But, like, I'm looking forward to going down there. I may or may not be going down there in a few weeks for other reasons that we don't need to talk about. But, yeah, it's a really cool display. So if you guys are down there or planning a trip to KSC in the next 2 months, head on down there. I think you guys like it.
Definitely worth a look.
Other thing to look at, it's worth a look. Some leaked footage of a fairing catch.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
I'll be honest. I saw it on Twitter. I'm like, what? Oh, I guess NDAs are up because this is the first time we've seen this. Like,
or guess someone just decided to violate their NDAs.
That might be a more option.
I think that's the one that it is.
Because the Twitter account no longer exists.
Yeah, it very quickly went private and then it disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yep. But basically, the video shows someone from, I think it was either Go Mystery or Go Mischief, first showed an image of just the ship just going headfirst into a fairing. Like, not, it was just like, it was going, and like, it was an image captured from like the nose, like the tip of the nose cone. And it just shows, I think it was Mystery, just going headfirst right into it. I'm like, that's not how you recover a fairing. That makes sense.
Now we understand why they might have been damaged.
Now, I think this video has truly showed why they stopped doing the catching and how they came back damaged. Because, like, when they would cut back, like, broken up, like, how does it break? If it misses, how does it break? And, like, because you've been able to catch them out of the water just fine before, and then now I show the video of, like, a ship just going nose first into it. The video shows it like getting caught on the edge of the net, but just off the side and falls over. And so instead of landing flat on the water, it lands like nose first and it breaks up as like it kind of hits the water a little bit harder.
Yeah. And notably, the fairings would actually release the parachutes like the moment they touched down or like just before, because if they don't release the parachutes, they're immediately pulled off the net. So... I believe it actually like released the parachute there, and it, so then it doesn't even have the extra drag to slow it down, fall on the rest of the way to the water.
It truly, now it makes sense. Like, I think a lot of us were sad that they left. I'm like, come on, it'd be so cool. Yeah, hell no, I would never want to. If I was a SpaceX employee and they told me I'd be on the fairing boat for catching, I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
No, thank you. I don't want to be out there, because like they're just out there underneath the net. Like, I don't know how they were allowed out, or they might have been behind some glass, but like
they're not. So I don't believe they are under the net. I believe
from the video it looks like it, but that's because the net covers the actual like crew area. I think they're behind some glass, but like still, screw that. Hell no. Like I don't trust glass that much.
I'd give it. Yeah. I think it's safe enough, but. Still, it definitely makes sense why they'll go with the just picking them up out of the water. Salt water doesn't do as much damage as being rammed by a ship. So, especially to the fairings.
That's very true. I would agree with that. The Yeah. Yeah. Salt water definitely does not. They're still looking on a natural like, permanent solution. We've had two different contractor ships. They've also used Ghost Searcher and Go Navigator, right? Or Ghost, yeah, Ghost Searcher and Go Navigator as a fairing catching ships. So I still want to just also see Go Mystery and Go Chief come back with like cranes that have been like attached under the deck and like fully tricked out. Like, we're back. You thought you got rid of us, but we're back. Although I don't think that's going to happen. They got named back to their original names. So that's probably not going to happen. So, next up was, happened up, and it was announced Friday by NASA that, veteran astronaut Doug Hurley, will be retiring from the astronaut corps. So he, of course, most of you probably know him from DM2, SpaceX's first crewed mission. He was the commander of the flight, spacecraft commander. Remember, Ben was also technically not pilot. He was like mission commander was the name. He also flew. He was an astronaut for 21 years. Was a Marine pilot, aviator, actually, I think the term is. For years before that, test pilot. First, he flew the test version of the FA-18 Super Hornets, which we saw down in Sun and Fun for the Blue Angels. And then he also, his two shuttle missions was STS-127 and, of course, the final space shuttle, STS-135. He flew, of course, 127 was on Endeavor, and then 135 was on Atlantis. So he's been in this, he was an astronaut for a long time.
Yeah, and he served as pilot for both of those missions. And so, of course, with STS-135, they brought up the American flag that flew on STS-1. Mm-hmm. They left that at the station to be retrieved by the next crew of
NASA
astronauts.
And then he got to bring it back down.
And he got to bring it back.
Of course, that was like a whole little kind of like catch the flag, and SpaceX had Doug Hurley, and Boeing had Craig Ferguson, who was Ferguson, who was the 135 commander. Of course, when Doug Hurley went up, Ferguson quietly stepped down from the mission. Although it's sad, I would have loved to see him fly one more time. He's a cool guy. He's kind of like, they're all like really cool astronauts from that era. I mean, they've gone through so much. Like, so Doug Hurley, of course, was the Cape Crusader for Columbia disaster. He helped build, lead the reconstruction effort over at the Cape. You know, he went from there. He saw the transition into commercial space. He helped, develop Orion with Boeing, as well as with Lockheed, and then as well as he worked on both Starliner and Dragon. He also helped train astronauts for Soyuz. Like he's worked on every single part of like crewed space flight pretty much since the shuttle. The only thing he hasn't like worked on was like pre shuttle, which was like, you know, first he's not that old, but like he had an amazing career. You know, congratulations to him on a successful career, and hopefully he has a great retirement. Maybe he might end up a private astronaut for like Virgin Galactic or or Blue Origin. You never know. That's a possibility.
Well, speaking of astronauts, Richard Branson and Virgin Galactic.
So I'm working on a thought, right? What is an astronaut? What is an astronaut? But that's someone we thought was a really easy question, and I think now it's actually a really hard question, because before it was anyone who goes to space is an astronaut.
Hold on. What is space?
So,
yeah.
Of course, we've had there was a whole argument between Blue Origin and Virgin Galactic on Twitter. Like this was like a public argument between these two, you know, huge companies about.
I wouldn't call it an argument,
okay, someone was a little salty that they were going to lose the race. So Blue Origin tweets out that they go to space and that Virgin Galactic doesn't go to space because they go above 100 kilometers, which is the Kármán line. And Virgin Galactic only goes above 85 kilometers, I believe. It's like 86, I think, was Unity 22's peak altitude. When we go back to von Kármán's research, I forgot his first name. I just remember his last name is von Kármán. Research back in like, I think it was like the 40s or 50s or something. Before any of us have ever flown to space, he was researching what is the boundary of space. He came up that pretty much it's between 85 and 100 kilometers. And the U.S. rounded that down to 80, and the international communities rounded it up to 100. And then even now, the international community is like, it's probably more like 80.
Yeah, because it's about orbiting. It's like, at what point, in order to gain enough lift, you actually need to be in orbit.
And yeah, it's
like,
at what altitude,
it's around there, and
how fast you have to go for your aerodynamic lift to pretty much to produce any aerodynamic. I don't know. Pretty much at those altitudes, you're moving at orbital velocities.
Yeah.
Virgin Galactic, in my opinion, you know what? It's between 80 and 100, 85 kilometers of space. Like, it's just that simple. If even the international community thinks about changing their mind, then whose side are you really on, Blue Origin? That's what I was saying. Like, come on. Like, it's kind of a bad argument on your side. But, yeah, so there's a question. So
now they were attacking every aspect also.
Oh,
of
everything.
Virgin Galactic.
Everything. Escape
it was,
system.
Oh, don't you want to be on a rocket? Because rockets are cooler. You're just on a plane there. And it was every bit of it.
When the Virgin Galactic pilot says to stop your childish arguments, and it's not even an official statement from Virgin Galactic, you might be petty a little petty. So last Sunday, not yesterday, but the Sunday before that, Richard Branson flew. Richard Branson was alongside three other Virgin Galactic employees. All had tasks. Whether or not you call some tasks.
Now you haven't included the pilots also.
Yeah, so there were six people. So all six people had tasks. They're all working. They're all working individuals. Blue Origin is launching tomorrow. Four members. They don't have pilots, though. Only four. I reached out to them trying to ask if there would be tasks they would be doing, or they, what type of training are they getting? Got a really quick response saying that they all get the same training. So I'm not holding my breath for any announcement of research, abilities, or is Jeff Bezos doing what Richard Branson did by evaluating the customer experience? I mean, I'm sure he's doing something like that. I'm sure if he sees something he doesn't like, he's going to say something. But, so there's a question. What's an astronaut? Do you have to be working? Do you have to be conducting experiments? Do you have to go to orbit? And if you don't do those things, what are you? Are you a space tourist? Are you a space traveler? Are you just a rich person who flew?
Yeah, I definitely think there deserves to be a different title than astronaut. Because you're really, I feel like it somewhat lessens the astronauts who are spending their lives dedicated to working in space.
Yeah.
I feel like if someone can go pay a couple $1 million, spend 2 days, launch up, be there for 3 minutes and be able to say, yeah, I'm an astronaut.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the same. So whether it's space tourist or traveler, or if we want to find some other name, because it is really cool that they're going up there, but I don't see them as astronauts.
Yeah.
Even if they cross the von Karman line,
the idea, I put it as, it's like pretty much, you pay people who pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to go up, do a backflip, come back down. How is that qualifications of an astronaut? Because you're talking about a job title. You're not talking about even a pilot is a job title. You're a pilot. You've done the training. You've passed the courses. You've passed. There's so much stuff you have to do to become a pilot.
Now, if you want to talk about someone who's done the training to be an astronaut, we should talk about Wally Funk.
This is the hard part too, because I want to consider her an astronaut when she flies tomorrow. I want to, because she's done all the work. She's done the training. She's passed. She did better than everyone in the Mercury. She did almost better than everyone in the Mercury 7 when they did the test back in the 60s. She's a ground, she is, been an inspiration to so many generations of women to get into aviation, to get into STEM. But I'm sorry, I want to call it an astronaut. So that's basically what I'm saying, but I don't, what is the qualifications of an astronaut?
If anyone on that flight deserves it, she does.
She does deserve it. I think she does deserve it. But then if we're doing a base, we can't have exceptions to the baseline, but I want to have, screw it. She's an astronaut tomorrow, but Jeff Bezos isn't. that's what I want to say.
Is that where we're going? We could just say, yeah, Wally Funk did the actual training. And
she did
wait,
she did 100 million times more work than Bezos. Or, I mean, Mark, I have nothing against Mark. He seems like a cool guy. He's a volunteer firefighter. Go him. You know, we'll talk about the fourth kid. But, yeah, I have thoughts and opinions. And we don't need to go into those.
Yeah, you seemed rather salty about Blue Origin.
If you guys want to read my thoughts, I have an opinion article on Space Export. It might use the term childish arguments as well in the title. So
I would like it known that I had him tone down that article.
Yeah, you did. I appreciate that. I was really very salty that day. Not gonna lie.
That was a very salty opinion piece.
It was true though.
I don't disagree with it being valid childish. It was a valid opinion.
Tomorrow, their live stream starts at T-minus 90 minutes. That's what they announced yesterday in the press conference. I don't know if that means they're starting at 6:30, no matter what, which is 90 minutes to the first 90 minutes till T-minus 0, which is 8 a.m., or they're going to start the live stream at T-minus 90 minutes. So if it pushes back to like 8:30 or 9 o'clock, then it starts 90 minutes from there. It's Blue Origin. I'm sure it's going to start at 8 o'clock. Oh, sorry, 6:30. Window goes from, well, the window did go from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central. Now that they've announced the T-minus 0 at 8 a.m., so it goes from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central. So it'd be Jeff Bezos, Mark Bezos, Jeff's brother, Wally Funk, who would be, if she flies tomorrow, the oldest person to go to space. And then Oliver Damon, I think is how you pronounce his last name. So we talked yesterday about, we still don't know the $28 million winner. He didn't win the $28 million. He was not the winner of the auction. The winner of the auction had a scheduling conflict, which is hilarious in itself. He can't go tomorrow, so he'll be flying on the second flight. So we might.
What scheduling conflict is so important? You can't go to space.
It was yesterday. He couldn't skip it for training. It would mess everything up. All right.
Like that. I think there's something more going on. I've got to be honest.
That's why I'm so interested. Who is this person who has such an important job that he can't go to space?
It's not like they didn't know the launch is going to be happening now.
Whatever. Like,
What came up that
whatever.
Is so important you can't
Blue
go to
Origin,
space?
During the auction, they stated that people who were really active in the auction, really high, you know, who are high up in the money, would be offered, you know, future seats. So pretty much Oliver Damon, alongside his dad, because Oliver Damon's 18, his dad's hedge fund manager or something like that. Really rich guy, pretty much. They were second in the auction, so they got a seat on the second flight. And then when the scheduling conflict came up, they moved him up to the first flight. So, which, you know what, I was kind of like irritated about it, because it kind of like they didn't give any information, and then they did, and then it just took like an hour for the CNBC article that they had an interview with someone from Blue Origin that detailed what happened. So once I learned like what happened, I'm like, okay, whatever, like scheduling conflict. You can make fun of all you want, but we're not. It's not like it's a government mission, so we don't care.
It's really cool for him. Like,
it's really cool for him. Like,
the youngest person to go to space.
This is the part where I know I'm like, I'm older now, because like I'm excited for him as like, because I wish I could do that when I was 18. Like, I know, but like, it's gonna be tomorrow's flight will be the youngest and oldest person to go to space, which I think is actually pretty cool. Like, I'm surprised I didn't look at that and tell the guy who made $28 million, like, listen, PR wise, you're going on the second flight. Like, I don't care. You're going on the second flight. This guy's going. It's cooler. But I know, I'm kind of excited for that. And I think that's kind of the bigger story tomorrow, is that, you know, we're gonna see the 82-year-old. Right, 82, yeah, and an 18-year-old go to space, and I think that's super cool. Like, the last time we saw someone, this old go to space was Richard Branson at 71. Before that, 77 was John Glenn, which I never watched, because that was like in the 90s or something. So, yeah, I think tomorrow's gonna be a good day. It's gonna be interesting. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens, and of course,
Look forward to seeing it. It'll be. One for the history books, even if we don't want to consider them astronauts. They're going to space, and it'll be really cool to watch.
It's a great step for commercial space. For commercial space.
Yeah, personally. Because as much as we can criticize the... So there was a lot of criticism about billionaires spending their money to create a roller coaster to space that comes right back down and it does nothing productive, and like the lack of scientific exploration and the ways they could better spend their money. But I think this one in particular, it will do some more of the funding for stuff like the Postcards to Space program with Blue Origin's Club for the Future. And of course, Blue Origin's working on New Glenn, which will do more, but I think this really will get more people interested in space, even if the funding comes from the millionaires willing to pay.
A mixed day, because it's going to get a lot more younger people in the space. Seeing Oliver and Wally Funk, a lot more women, a lot more younger people in the space because of Oliver and Wally. But we're also probably going to see a huge division in like older people, because they're like, oh, look at this billionaire just spending money to go to space. So I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to talking to those people as that happens, and kind of explain the reason why.
Because there will definitely be a lot of criticisms of the flight tomorrow.
Because this is
sure.
it truly is. It's not just like a roller coaster of space. I think that's kind of like what a lot of people have claimed it as, because that's kind of like that's kind of what's happening tomorrow, but. Blue Origin will continue to launch just uncrewed missions with scientific experiments on it, which I believe is the more important reason for this vehicle. It's because there's experiments who need zero gravity, but they don't need to go to orbit. Only way to do that before was on sounding rockets, where sounding rockets are pretty much really big, more highly complex model rockets, pretty much. Much, much bigger, and by more complex, very, very complex. But
here they've got a pressurized...
They have a pressurized cabin.
Capsule.
Highly, way easier to recover, because it's going straight up and straight down. It's not being launched uncontrollably over the ocean. And it's not going to spend millions of dollars to get, to go to the ISS, have a highly trained astronaut, do it on the ISS, and then have to have it, brought back down.
I feel like... Some of this failure to focus on the science is some of the issues with Virgin Galactic's dream.
Exactly. They were very focused on Branson.
Focused it on Branson. They made it a PR thing.
It was very
they
much
were focused
PR.
On all that when they could have spun it in the scientific side to get the good PR in that way.
I'm surprised.
Which
they didn't
I think would have been good.
I'm trying to think if they even did. I'm trying to think back if they even mentioned that they did do. Like a plant-based,
There was an experiment that occurred on that flight. I think they very briefly mentioned it in like one or two lines, but it's like not like if I were them and I wanted to get good PR, I would do a lot of the focus on that. In addition to these are just everyday people able to go to space.
Yeah, it was.
I feel like that could have been really.
Yeah, because everyday people aren't going to be riding these rockets. They're going to be riding the next version of these rockets, the cheaper ones, the way, way cheaper ones, the ones that are going to be doing way more, like. These are for the people who have a lot of money and can just blow, close to like $500,000 on a flight. But like, this is the science of these for these vehicles is way more important than the crewed flights. With that said, we have reached the end of our list. And next week we'll be back Monday mornings. We're gonna try to record these more consistently on Monday mornings. I think Mondays work way better for me than Tuesdays. So, yep, Monday morning. Next week we're gonna record another one. And of course you can follow me on Twitter at Seth Kirk, SethKurk, and you can follow Derek at
Derek is Wise, DereKisWise. That's on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Basically everywhere.
You can listen to us on, of course, all the major platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that stuff. And then, of course, at spaceexplored.com if you wish. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week.